Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9watd.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we are back. We want to thank Ray Belanger for being, I guess we've had some great guests this evening. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, I'd absolutely agree.
Well, you had a lot of, you were very instrumental. I want to thank you first and foremost, not only for being a great co-host this evening, but you helped set up three quarters of the folks that we had on this evening.
You're welcome. Actually, it ends up being almost 100% because we...
that's what I'm saying is that we had... You have four guests who were set up, and unfortunately, it was kind of good that Dan was here early.
Absolutely.
And was able to be a part of this. Just so folks know, if you missed any of the segments that we had on, whether you missed the segment with Dan Shores or with Ray Belanger, it's as easy as going on to Monday Night Talk. Actually, you go on to 95.9watd.com and scroll down on the left-hand side. You'll see Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. You click on that, it'll take you to the latest. It usually takes a couple of days for us to upload the podcast, but you can either get them there, or we are available on iTunes. It's easy. Go into iTunes Store and look for Monday Night Talk. All you do is you put that into the search bar, and you'll find all of our podcasts. I want to throw one quick thing out there. One of our sponsors, a Life Care Center of the South Shore at the 309 Driftway in Scituate, they are actually going to be having their first annual Easter egg hunt. This is taking place on Saturday, April 12th. You get a chance to take a picture with the Easter Bunny. That's always fun. That's going to be taking place at the gazebo area from 1 to 2 p.m. They'll also have an Easter egg hunt from 2 p.m. to 2:30. If you want to find out more information, they want you to RSVP by April 8th. I think that's tomorrow, 781-545-1370. Speak with either Dottie or Susan, and they can plan accordingly. So I want to make sure I put that out there. We also want to thank Tiny and Sons for being one of our new sponsors, and also thank, of course, McGuigan's Pub for being a sponsor.
Excellent. Well, you know, I probably need a new Easter Bunny photo, so I might have to head down there.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't had one in, decades.
Okay.
It might be the year.
It is the year. So if you're not doing anything on the Saturday, make sure you're RSVP. It's the first annual Easter egg hunt. Now, talk to me about these two... ladies who are here with us this evening. This is a very good segment. It's very culture-based, isn't it?
Yes, this is one that is very near and dear to my heart, because when I was involved with the Chamber, one of the things I really wanted to do was get more visibility for the nonprofits. Mm. And I have actually served on the board of the Plymouth Philharmonic.
What board haven't you served on?
They're going to start laughing.
You're a great volunteer.
Yes.
And our community always can use great volunteers.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you for that. So I served on the board of the Philharmonic, as well as at the same time I actually served as a trustee for the South Shore Conservatory. Okay. So I've gotten to know both of our guests tonight. So Kathy Cherney is the president of the South Shore Conservatory, and they are actually South Shore Chamber members. And Kathy serves on the South Shore Economic Development Committee for the Chamber. And then our other guest here is Debbie Cox, who is the executive director of the South Shore Chamber. Executive director of the Plymouth Philharmonic Orchestra. And she is on the board of the South Shore Chamber. So there's tonight's a great night tying in economic development and advocacy. And there's something that makes the communities vibrant are the arts and the culture.
Absolutely.
And so I think tonight is about... A preview program that they're actually hosting. There's going to be a couple of organizations hosting it, and I'm going to actually have Kathy Cherney talk a little bit more about it. But there's an event, I think, next Monday night?
Monday night.
April 14th.
April 14th, 6 o'clock, at South Shore Conservatory's Duxbury campus, otherwise known as the Ellison Center for the Arts. Okay. And this is the second year, actually, that we have invited and hosted members of the state legislature to come and sort of learn a little bit more about the arts and cultural organizations and their contribution to the vibrancy of the South Shore. So last year we held the first one up at our Hingham campus, and we co-hosted that with the South Shore Arts Center and with Plymouth Philharmonic. And this year we are inviting mostly our representatives and senators from the southern part of the South Shore, and we'll be again talking about sort of the major contributions that the arts and cultural organizations provide to build our community and to sort of knit our fabric and to really enhance the quality of life here on the South Shore.
So there, I know that the Central Conservatory and the Philharmonic are together. Are there other organizations that are co-hosting with you?
Yes. Plymouth Plantation will also be co-hosting with us, and members of all of our boards. And then there are about another 32 arts and cultural organizations that will be represented and have been invited to participate also on Monday night.
That's excellent. And then who are the local legislators that have been invited?
Oh, all of them. I better have Paula do this because
right.
She's
so she's on the Senate side. I believe Terry Murray.
Terry Murray and
Senator Hedlund.
Senator Hedlund are both invited.
And Vinny DiMaceto.
Yes,
is a rep.
Yep, and Representative Coulter and Cantwell.
And Coulter,
Cantwell.
Cutler.
Yeah, we've got all those.
I
know, it's like Katie, right?
That's right. So it's two state senators and four representatives. Excellent.
Yeah. And we expect, I think, all of them to be there, so which is very, very exciting for us.
Absolutely.
Now, how does your organization tie into this?
Well, we were part of the program last year, and through our partnership with the South Shore Conservatory, the Phil and the South Shore Conservatory, we do a lot of things together. And I think it's important for arts and cultural organizations to partner with each other. It really helps our community when we do that. And this kind of team that we've created, it's good for people to see that we are part of the community that way, and we also partner together to make it a better place to live. You know, I, as a member of the chamber, and I know we're doing this economic development study, we're looking into many different ways, and I don't know if Ray talked about that, the infrastructure, how we can make it a really good environment for businesses to come and to create jobs for the South Shore. But I always think that when people get here, they get their houses and they live, they need something to do.
Mm.
And that's the piece that we can provide.
Sure.
Not only do we provide economic stimulation to our communities through our events, when people go to our events, we were talking about it earlier, Kathy, there's a ripple effect. Every dollar they spend goes even further. I think it's something like for every person that goes to an event, they spend $24.60 on top of their ticket price in the local community. And that's a big piece. So a few times that by, Kathy's got some figures, how many people actually attend arts and cultural events in on the South Shore.
Right. Last year, from the 33 organizations that are basically tracked by the Massachusetts Cultural Council, there were over 830,000 people that attended concerts and events and went to museums, different cultural events. And one of the conversations that I had with a restaurant owner, he was saying that actually they love being in communities where there are concerts and events like that to attend, because they do find that people will come out to the restaurants. They'll actually spend a little bit more money if they've been to an event like that than if they maybe would just go out to dinner. So it's a boost, and it's a nice collaborative link.
How important is it for our communities these days to have collaborations like yours?
I think it's hugely important. You know, one of the things that Debbie was saying in terms of how we partner, the Plymouth Philharmonic and the South Shore Conservatory, I think that in terms of the Philharmonic, they have nearly, 100-year history here on the South Shore. The South Shore Conservatory has been here for almost 45 years now. And what we bring together is this multiple generational types of things. And so with the Plymouth Philharmonic providing these wonderful performances, we're educating, I actually just did a new headcount, we have 3,700 students now of people that live on the South Shore.
Wow.
And
a lot.
Those students basically range in age from zero, literally, to about 103. That's our oldest student. And so I think what we are both trying to do is to engage everyone within the community in the vibrancy of the arts, and we can do that better by partnering than we can on our own.
Mm.
I think I may have shared this with you both before, but I was speaking with Chris Alderson from Rockland Trust, and he said how important it is for the dollars that the nonprofits spend to spend them wisely. And an organization like Rockland Trust really likes to see these types of partnerships because you're spending their dollars, their donations. And so I think they've supported both of the organizations quite well. But I think you hear that more and more from the business leaders. They want to support, but they want to see it done smartly, and they want to see these types of collaborations.
Yeah. Again, I want to just kind of put it out there. Again, you're going to have a local delegation at this event coming up on Monday the 14th. What's the importance? What's some of the things that you're trying to get across to these leaders? What are some of the things that you want to say to them, or that you're hoping that they'll understand if they're coming to this event?
Well, I think there are a couple of messages. Last year we had a big push because the three organizations that are hosting, we all receive funds from the Massachusetts Cultural Council. Yep. And 10, 11 years ago, the Mass Cultural Council's budget was about $20 million, and it had been sliced to about $9 million.
Wow.
So last year, there was a big push as part of the advocacy for Mass Cultural Council to really talk to our legislators and to increase that budget line. And we were successful. And part of that conversation really with our legislators was to have them understand the importance of this and supporting the arts in our community. So we were able to raise that by about $3.5 million. I think we still want to get it up to about the $20 million
sure,
level that it was. And I think it's also important to, you know, I think there are so many organizations that are really good. I think the Chamber actually is a wonderful example of getting the business messages out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were talking about the lunch that we had with Senator Markey and the representation of the South Shore business community. The arts and culture are a little bit behind that, and we don't advocate together as well as I think we could, and that's one of the things we're really trying to do, is to let our legislators know that actually there's a unified group that have a lot of people who support us. And
they all vote.
And they all vote.
Most of them, anyways.
That's true. And one of the things, you know, and so what else do you want them to, I mean, you're going to talk to them, but what do you want them to hear? And what actions do you want?
Well, it is, again, we're coming into the fiscal time of year, so this is the perfect time, am I correct? I mean, we're looking at FY 2015.
Right. Yes. Well, and Governor Patrick actually is putting his budget to put the cut back in at $3.5 million.
What a guy. What a guy.
So we do not want to have a cut. In fact, what we would like to see is to have an incremental increase over where we were last year. There's also the Cultural Facilities Fund, which help us with the organizations that have buildings, all of the cultural organizations that have buildings. So those are also state-designated funds. So those are things that actually our legislators have some control over and can help make sure that arts organizations are being supported.
I think that it's important, too, because when they come on, when they get to the point where they have to vote, there's a lot of really critical things they need to vote for. Mm. And I think it's important for us to tell them that there's a reason to vote for arts organizations and cultural right. organizations, and we're more than just events. We make a big difference in our communities, and we create a fabric for people to have joy. And there's an educational component, and it helps in many ways.
Mm. And Debbie, both of you, Debbie and Kathy, talk about, as employers, how many people do you employ? Because I think that's pretty surprising when people hear those numbers.
Well, we employ about 200. And that's we have 100 faculty members, and then that expands during the summer when we have a lot of performers that come in, and in addition we have a pretty substantial staff, and so we do contribute that way,
right? And we've got a smaller staff, but every concert we have between 60 and 75 musicians, that's 8 to 10 times a year, well, not to mention vendors and people that we use for graphic design. And so there's a lot of people that come through our doors that we help in terms of jobs.
I think that ripple effect is huge. And when we talk sometimes about small businesses, you talk about the solopreneur, the mom and pop. So you're talking about one, two, three, four jobs. You guys are providing a lot of jobs and creating a lot of economic stimulus.
Right, and that's just the two of us in this room.
Right,
right.
And if we add the plantation in, we're talking, you know, those numbers.
And the 32
right.
other Absolutely. Organizations on the South Shore.
Exactly. Absolutely. So and together you are strong.
And again, we have with us for this segment, Kathy Cherney. She is president of the South Shore Conservatory. And is also on the South Shore Economic Development Council of the South Shore Chamber of Commerce. Wow, that's a long title. As well as Debbie Cox, who is the executive director of the Plymouth Philharmonic and is also on the board of the South Shore Chamber of Commerce. And we're talking about not only an event, but also their importance to the community, the South Shore and the community, how their economic vitality is important, and the message they're trying to at least get to some of our elected leaders up on Beacon Hill, how they may vote in the coming weeks when it comes to putting together the FY 2015 budget. Is there anything else we want to kind of talk about in regards to the arts and the culture and how important it, what its impact is on this area of the state?
Well, I'd like to circle back a little bit to what Debbie was just saying, because I do think that the most important thing that we do is to create community. And I think that the arts really are the basis for so many things that help to develop young people and to, you know, to create a strong fabric in our communities. You know, we're a school, and so most of what we do is educationally based. And most of our students are not going to be musicians. That's not what they're going to do. But what they are going to do and what they learn are huge life lessons that they can take forward wherever they go. And I think they are the audiences of tomorrow, and they are,
and
you know,
so are
the good
children?
Citizens. Not all of them are. Not all of them.
But I'm saying, though, so aren't will their children?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Generation to generation.
Generation to generation. And I think that That's one of the things why the collaboration is so important, why being partnering with our businesses is important, why partnering with each other is important, because that's the reason why, you know, people will choose to live on the South Shore versus somewhere else, because there are these kinds of opportunities for their families.
Mm. And I think that we should also talk about one of the bigger components is the volunteer aspect. I know, Paula, you know, you've been connected with both of these organizations as a volunteer. We have probably between 100 and 150 people that volunteer with the Phil each year. And that goes from everything from board members to ushers at our concerts to people that help at our fundraising events. And it creates a team, a sense of team. People love to get together. It's networking as well. So that there's a great opportunity. I don't know if, Paula, you want to talk a little bit about your experience of volunteering.
It's been one of the most rewarding things I've ever done, you know, to be able to work with an organization, bring your skills and talents and gifts and make an impact, and then to feel how that has impacted a group or a region is amazing. And I wouldn't have gotten to know these two women if I hadn't volunteered and gotten so involved. And it leads to so many other things, which is just really exciting. So, I'm a huge advocate of volunteering. I think that's what makes our country really special, and it makes life more enriching.
Do you feel that, as far as your volunteer base, that's been thriving, or do you feel that with tough economic times, folks aren't volunteering as much because they have to, you know, work to be able to keep a household? Is the volunteer base okay still?
You know, I don't think we've had any impact in terms of our volunteer base.
Well, that's good.
We did have a dip in our sponsors and our donors,
sure.
But as far as volunteers, when you're passionate about an organization, then that passion transfers over into what you want to do.
Yep.
And we find that some of our most committed people are our volunteers, and it's fantastic. And there's different times, different places, different ways that you can help. And so we usually try and fit whatever you want to do into what we need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. I think maybe the way volunteerism it's changed maybe a little bit because you do have to craft it to people's time and their schedule and their availability. We run the Duxbury Music Festival, and we have 150 volunteers that participate in that. But it's, they know exactly what they're going to do, and it's very intense for about 2.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, that does make a huge difference. I think people really want to volunteer, and I think if you're smart about how to engage them and you're able to really find that two-way street, then it's still really a wonderful, wonderful thing.
So tonight we were talking about sort of how you're going to approach the legislators next week at this meeting. But is there something that the folks listening can do? Obviously, they can volunteer, but is there some other way maybe that can they be politically active to help you in your cause to increase funding?
Yes, I the Massachusetts Cultural Council, Mass Creative. And I think what we should do is get them that email address. There's links. If they want to either call up the Plymouth Philharmonic office or call up the South Shore Conservatory, there are quite often times where we are looking to ask people to vote to support the bills that are going up for vote to get more money, and if they want to be put on that list, we're happy to hook them up with the Massachusetts Cultural Council. They could also just, I think, Google Mass Creative and get on that list, and they could support the arts that way.
We just have a couple of minutes left, but I want to thank both Kathy Cherney and also Deb Cox for being here. Do we have any other events that are coming up that you want to take a moment to let folks know about, or if you want to reiterate the information regarding this coming Monday, the 14th, if you would like to do that?
So this coming Monday, April 14th, at the Ellison Center for the Arts, South Shore Conservatory's Duxbury campus, at 6 o'clock, we will be hosting our legislators, our state legislators, for a discussion about the importance of arts and culture in our communities. And we will be featuring a wonderful performance from Pure Trouble, our children's chorus. And then I'm going to make another shameless plug.
Please
for
do.
Friday, April 25th. We will be holding a jazz concert at Old Derby in Hingham at 6 o'clock. And it's a great time with our jazz, rock, pop faculty, so come join us. You can find that online at www.sscmusic.org.
Now, I have to ask, is this is open, free to the public, or are the tickets to purchase? Well, how does that work?
It is not free to the public. The tickets, I believe, are $25, but okay. You can find that online.
Very nice.
And I'll give a little plug for our Spring Pops. It's our last concert of this season, and it's May 10th at 8 o'clock at Memorial Hall in downtown Plymouth. Please join us. We have Craig Schulman. He's the only actor in the U.S. to portray the Phantom in The Phantom of the Opera, Jean Valjean in Les Mis, and the title roles in Jekyll and Hyde. And he will be singing some of the favorites of each of those Broadway shows beside our orchestra. So if you want a night to remember, that will be it. And you can purchase tickets, plymouthphil.org. They range from $20 to $65.
Not too bad. And did you mention the website?
plymouthphil.org.
Okay. Anything that we haven't asked you to, ladies, that you want to make sure with the last couple of minutes, I mean, we got like 4 minutes left, that you want to mention?
Well, I want to say that if you need music lessons for anyone of any age,
even 103,
South Shore Conservatory, and come to our website and you can look at the, we have a huge array of programs. So we would love to have you come and join our community.
Really?
Yep. Even you, Kevin, it's not too late.
No, it's not too late.
We have a lot of adults.
Oh, good. Yep. Yeah.
I just really I know that there are a lot of people out there who, you know, are on their iPads and in front of computers and watching TV, and I just want to shamelessly plug the beauty of live music. I think that
nothing like
it. There's nothing like the shared experience of being in a concert hall with 1,000 people and everybody sighing at the same time. It's something that humans need, and I think that it's such an important thing that we provide. The education programs are fantastic. We have stories where we have changed people's lives because of what they've learned or experienced in our music. So we inspire people, we engage people. It is an important part of our community, and it's something that we will lose unless we have people support us. So I really encourage everybody to get out there and support your local arts and cultural institutions.
And Deb, the Phil had its last classical concert just a couple weeks ago with 250 students, so maybe you just hit a highlight on that.
Right. We had seven area high schools. We had a high school choral consortium, and each high school chorus has been practicing since September, and we had 250 kids singing with the orchestra. And to see them come together to not compete against each other, as they would in some aspects of things, but to work together.
Be as one.
And be as one was a phenomenal evening. And it's just a testament to what we can do when we come together and work together.
Well, I hope all these events that we've talked about, I hope that the event next Monday is a fantastic success. We hope that the leaders from Beacon Hill will be listening and be of help come time to make sure that there's no further cuts when it comes to the final budget, whenever they put that together. And I hope this event on the 10th, Heroes, Monsters, and Madmen, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
For the Phil, it's going to be a success. Anything you want to say in closing, my co-host for the evening?
I would say this has been an exciting night, a night near and dear to me, since it brought together so many of my interests and passions and things I like to advocate for. So I enjoyed being a part of it. Thank you for the opportunity.
And Joe Rossi thanks you as well.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And we hope Joe feels better quickly.
Amen. Ladies, anything?
Well, I'd like to thank you and Paula. It's been really great to be here and kind of talk about our art, what we're passionate about in our careers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we'll definitely have to have you back somewhere down the road, whether it's the new season or anything that might be to kind of promote it before it happens, maybe in August or September. There's a very good possibility of that. Maybe one of the next couple of times that Paula is in with me, it's something we can talk about. Folks, we want to thank you for tuning into Monday Night Talk this evening. And don't forget, if there's anything that you missed on tonight's program, it will be up on the website probably in the next day or two. Just go to 959WATD.com and scroll down Monday Night Talk. Click on that. Or you can go to, if you're somebody who has a smartphone and you like listening to podcasts on your smartphone, let's go into iTunes and search for Monday Night Talk. That's it for me. I want to also thank Ryan for doing a fantastic job this evening. That's all the show we have. I think South Shore Live is up next. Stay tuned for Stan and the Gang right here on 95.9 WATD. Have a good night.